Sunday, February the 21st, we had a late breakfast, and then, with the Marvin Watsons and Bill Moyers, drove out to Christ Church in Alexandria. Because the next day was George Washington's birthday, we followed the tradition of all the 35 presidents, save about three, going to George Washington's church on the Sunday closest to his birthday. I've been very familiar with that charming old church as a tourist. It was on my route to Mount Vernon with innumerable constituents in the days of the House and the Senate. I particularly like the churchyard with its old English words, uxor for wife, relict for widow, and its description of the profession of the dead person. He was a noted distiller, says one tombstone. And those doleful old lines, a typical one, as I am, you soon will be. Prepare yourselves to follow me. The Reverend Sidnor, about 6 feet 7 inches tall, towered above us, led us in to George Washington's pew. Lyndon sat where the first president sat. The Reverend Sidnor's sermon suited the climate and at least this part of his audience. He said practically this, I am in the business of reconciliation. Reconciliation between members of a family, between regions of the country, between nations of the world. He was speaking of himself and of the church. Later on, Lyndon told him he felt that he too was in that same business, that the sermon could have been written for him. A delightful part of the service was the baptism of a little 2-month-old girl named Dawn Elaine, who, to my thinking, stole the show from the president, the minister, and all assembled. She was alert, smiling, interested, from beginning to end. The most winning little baby you ever saw, never once alarmed at being handed into strange hands, sprinkled with water, and stared at by the whole congregation. The Reverend Sidnor carried her down one aisle and up another. When he got to our pew, he stopped, and Lyndon slipped his little gold tie clasp with the LBJ on her dress. She rewarded him with an extra large smile. Later, after it was all over, she was peacefully sleeping in her father's arms. A natural little star. Back at the White House, we picked up him and Blanco, and the Watsons and us, Bill had gone home, walked around the grounds, stopping at the East Gate to chat with the tourists, while him tried to pick a fight with a perfectly nice little Scotty, and then raced off in pursuit of real or imaginary squirrels. He's the happiest little animal, and the joy of our life. And then back upstairs for lunch with the Watsons and Lyndon, while at the table, there was a call for Mrs. Dirksen in Florida. She sounded almost tearful. Senator Dirksen is ill. She wants to get him to Walter Reed Hospital as quickly as possible. Lyndon arranged to send a plane immediately. He should be in the hospital by 6:30 or 7 this evening. After lunch, Lyndon went back to his office, and I went to the bowling alley with the Watsons. Lyndon joined us briefly, bowled a game, and after a bad start, wound up with 2 or 3 spares and a strike, and beat us, much to all our pleasure. In the late afternoon, he and I took a nap, or rather a rest, and then we went to the Dillons for a delightful dinner. Only 8 of us, the Fulbrights were another couple. Phyllis has that rare and exquisite ability as a hostess to greet you as though it was the most delightful thing in the world that you were coming, and it was going to be a great evening. And it always is at her house. Charming people, good conversation, delectable food. There were 2 lovely watercolors of her daughters, signed Uncle Dana by Charles Dana Gibson. She looks so young, it's hard for me to place her in time when Charles Dana Gibson could have painted her 2 little girls. We talked of Jim Forrestal, always to me one of the outstanding men I've known in the 3 decades I've lived here. How hard it will be to get someone to take the Dillon's place, but he is very tired and intent on leaving by April 1st.